Yvonne.
And Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together. Okay. Hello.
Hi, everybody. So we've been talking about making friends with opposites, correct?
We have.
And I think what happens is what I've been going through anyway that I'll use as an example. So I'll be the guinea pig. What can happen is the following, that your boundaries will be tested, correct?
I mean,
that's a really simple way to put it, I guess.
Of course.
Right?
Can you imagine if you became friends with somebody who, you know, ate, let's say, completely different food than you do and invited you over for lunch? You know, it's just one of those things. Boundaries, weirdness, whatever you want to call it, will be tested.
So the last couple of months, my boundaries have been tested, and I was having so much trouble because it was truly breaking my heart. Like, it was painful. You know, people that I thought, like one person that I thought was a friend, that once again, I was like, oh, yay, the kids could have an auntie, you know, like, and it turned out to not be the case at all. It was a freakish train wreck of a situation, friendship wise, you know, it was sad.
Right.
You know,
it always is.
To this day, I'm like, every time I go to the store now, I'm like, oh, am I going to run into her? And I have to be like on guard, and I hate doing that.
Right.
You know, and also the other one was our neighbor that I ended up getting into it with. And as I was crying about all these things, I had two friends who have known me for decades give me some wise information. And since they've known me for decades, they pointed out my family dynamics. I was always the person who didn't want to make waves, no matter how people were treating me, no matter what kind of situation I was in. I did not make waves. I did not lower to their level of fighting back. I never wanted to fight back verbally in any way, right? And so I left. So we've been...
Right.
Like, I had to cut off family, and not just one section of the family, like all these family members, some of which are really cool. No, all gone, right?
Yes.
So I thought that I dealt with that. But we have another friend who's also on our podcast some years ago who said how you start something is how you finish something. What that means is, for example, let's say you hate a job and you leave that job. Make sure that you leave in your own spirit on a good note. And you do that by thinking about all the things that you should be grateful for, and make sure there is no charge on anything, that you don't have a charge on anything. And what that means is, if a memory comes up regarding that situation, if your mood changes and you get very intense feelings, that means you have a charge on it. So you do whatever you have to do, pray it out, talk it out, do whatever you need to do to take that charge out of your spirit. That's when you get clear. And I thought I did that pretty much. But I think that we do get the same lessons coming up in different ways until it's for sure that you have mastered whatever that is. You've mastered that charge. You've mastered that situation, that relationship, the dynamics of that relationship, I should say. And so with me, if I can use myself as an example, there were no boundaries. I did everything. I bent over backwards. I let things go that bothered me, that mm-hmm. these women would say, do. I just, you know, the term is water off of a duck's back, right?
Yes.
Is that the term?
Yeah, that is.
I lived like that, but deep inside, I think it was really bothering me. And so these two friends pointed that out. And in my particular situation, I never wanted to look like a bad person. Because growing up, I was told, you're a bad person. So if I did stick up for myself or I did disagree, then they would say, see precisely why you're a bad person. And I never thought about it like that until my two friends who've known me forever mentioned that's what I'm afraid of. And so what if someone calls you a bad person? You need to draw your boundaries and say, you can't do that to me. I'm not allowing this situation. I'm not going to partake in this situation. I'm not going to invest in this situation.
Your emotional currency.
And actually speaking that. Now actually keep, verbalizing that.
Right. Now keep in mind, it can be very important. It is extremely important to have advisors, to have friends who are not emotionally connected to what you're going through, because then they can take a look at things more objectively. That's problem number one, for sure, for certainly. And yeah, nobody wants to look like a bad person. That's one of my favorite techniques at work to get somebody to do something they don't want to do, is to make everything seem reasonable and rational, even though I know they don't want to do it. Like, do you think you can get this done by the end of next week? Well, if you say no, then you're being a bad person. So I'm manipulating you. Mm-hmm. Even though if I ask you, hey, when can you have this done? You would say, oh, I'll have it done by the end of the week. Oops, I couldn't get it done. Let me see. Oh, let me try next week. Oh, let me try week after. And you would keep stalling me. That's why I give you one deadline date. Because mm-hmm. you don't want to seem like a bad person. So totally.
And then when you do say something, it seems like, ooh, it's coming out of the blue. Like, where'd this come from?
Right. Yeah, and yes, and that's the other point.
And that's the pitfall of waiting. That's right. The pitfall of not saying something immediately.
And that's also the pitfall for me oftentimes, because I'll be subtle about things. And sometimes people want to see what they want to see, shockingly, right? So if I'm being too subtle, they're like, oh, maybe I was imagining it, or, you know, literally they don't hear me.
They don't hear you.
They literally don't hear me because I'm being that subtle. It should be a very gentle guiding thing. Simplicity itself. You know, what are you planning on working on this afternoon? Oh, hadn't thought about that. Boom. Let it go. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, nobody's doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm talking business. I'm talking work-wise and you're talking friend-wise. I know, but it's a similar problem.
It is a similar problem. It's the same issue. Not being heard. And that's one of the keys to friendship, is being heard.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so when you're not being heard because you're trying to rein in all of your emotions inside of you and keep them there because you don't want to look like a bad person, or you don't want to look ugly, right?
Right.
You're afraid to look ugly. And that's one of the things we talked about a long time ago. Remember, you taught us how the people that ended up dying in a fire are the people that were too timid to break something.
To break the window to get out.
Right, because they didn't want to.
Because that's bad, because that's always bad. Well, except if you're about to die, then all rules kind of go out the window.
And it also reminds me of what you told me about O-sensei. So O-sensei is Murahai Ueshiba, the founder of Aikido, the martial art that Matt and I practice together, that we met in the school together. Didn't you say that he, first of all, this was like the most peaceful man. Was he a samurai? What was he? No, he fought in the war.
He was in the war and he killed people, and he became a master of the spear, and he trained, did combat training for people. And after the war, he was like, his entire world was utterly rocked, shocked, and he threw down his sword and wished it could be a plowshare. Yes.
And so he devoted everything to peace.
Yes.
Which is Aikido, the way of peace, right?
The way of harmony with the universe, but everybody shortens that to peace.
So the thing about this guy is, when you look at him and his teachings, you're like, oh, the most peaceful person. But then you would tell me, Matt, how he quite often would have, how would you describe it? Like, he would get so upset and start, not a tantrum, what's the word for it?
He would get pissed.
He would get pissed and cause a scene over 25 cents. Or like if he felt like someone was ripping him off, right? Didn't he? Like, can you tell us the stories of how...
Well, the one I remember is basically what all came down was that somebody didn't put his luggage where they needed to put it on the train. And so he couldn't find his stuff. And he went off on his... And his disciples heard him go off on this poor porter, right? And the disciples were just like... And he said, and this is the quote, if you're looking for God, he is not here, meaning pointing at himself.
Not right now, anyway.
People are people, and people we're a jumbled mess of emotions and past experiences and all sorts of craziness that have to get sorted out. Sometimes I wonder how two people can even become friends, you know, just with all the stuff we carry with us. I mean, kindergarten, sure, great, you know? Hey, let's play. Simple, but, you know.
Still horrible because there's so much going on.
Things get more and more kind of off-centered as time goes.
Guys, I did something terrible in kindergarten.
Yes, you did,
but
let's not talk about
it. We're not going to talk about it.
Let's not talk about it. I'm scared. Yeah, I don't want to talk. I hate talking about that.
I'm so sorry.
It makes me look at you a little cross-eyed. Anyways, but that's just it. I've actually been recently reading a book that we're going to be theoretically, hopefully, talking about on the show soon.
Next week, we have Chaz Ebert on.
The key, one of my many takeaways that I'm pulling is don't accept blame. You need to accept your responsibility for your part in it, but you do not accept blame. Blame is like this whole like carte blanche, like it was all my fault.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
That's what I do.
Responsibility. It even sounds better than blame. You know, certain, we're not, it's like, yeah, you need to just accept your part in the dialogue, in the drama, in the whatever it is.
If you are constantly trying to accept all the blame and let things go away, like we talked about, we were talking about Muhammad Ali and the quote about the pebble. It turns out he was talking about something else, but we took it a different way. He was talking about totally something else, but we talked about it's a pebble in your shoe, right? And sometimes you keep walking, hoping the pebble will move over.
Right.
Right. Instead of just stopping and taking care of it immediately. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I forgot what I was saying. Shoot, what was I saying? What was I saying? What did you say? Right
I
before?
Said don't accept responsibility, but not blame.
I guess, wow, I totally lost my train of thought. But I was saying sometimes it's okay. It's okay to look ugly and you can't always have the facade. It's okay. It's okay if you appear ugly.
Yes. And you need to forgive yourself in those moments you do look ugly. I've been looking ugly at work and I've been getting called out on it all over the place. Constantly what is said is, you are not wrong, but the way you are saying it is bad. And
but
it's like...
Explain why, though, you're saying it that way now.
Because I'm not being heard.
Because they have... You... And my desk is right next to you. Every day you try to explain it in such a diplomatic way. And it's been months. And they're still not getting it.
And they're still not getting it. And, you know, I'm getting back when I'm like... Maybe this person, you should get some help for them.
Training.
Some training,
he said training.
Training for them because they're not performing the job the way they're supposed to. And I get back, they've been doing this for 20 years, so I think you're mistaken.
Meanwhile.
And I'm the one who hears it every day, and they're the ones who've seen their resume. And it's like, those aren't the same thing.
And so what if someone has been doing something for 20 years? Technology is shifting so much. And, every week, every day.
And also...
We all need training.
There's a big difference between having a one-year experience 20 times in a row and having 20 years of experience.
Explain that.
You could do the same thing every year, year after year after year, and you're not growing.
Correct. You're not keeping up with the world.
You're not challenging yourself. You're not moving forward. You're just doing it the way you did it before because it was good enough.
Right. I mean, even in voiceovers, the industry I'm in now, things change all the time. You have to audition differently. People are looking for a different sound. And if you're still doing voiceovers the way they did 20 years ago, No one wants that. No one, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a different feel. You have to keep up with what the world is doing with the outside world. You have to keep up. You have to learn what's going on. Again, this goes back to opposites, right? You have to understand what is happening somewhere else.
Outside of yourself.
Outside of yourself. Yeah, exactly. So what happened with me was I just exploded and turned ugly on a friend next door because the boundaries, like it was too much. And all of a sudden I was like, she crossed the line. She crossed the line by offending Matt to his face. Bad enough if you just do that to someone I love. But it was so ugly. Then I turned really ugly. And I waited for her to leave. We were still in our yard. But I started talking out loud about the BS. Like, this is terrible. This F this, you know. And she comes walking back saying, "Keep your voice down. You can't talk like that." And then I start yelling, "I will do whatever the F I want. Get out of here."
And she wisely retreated.
She did, thank goodness. But honestly, and now I hear that she doesn't know what she did wrong.
Right.
Right? Well, oh, here's what I was going to say before. Now I remember. Sometimes things appear easy to other people. They're like, "Oh, you just have to forgive. Simple. Just forgive." Well, you can't do that. That's actually not healthy. There are other steps you need to take before you go into loving kindness when someone has done you wrong.
Right.
Because your body knows. It's still holding the trauma of what happened, the misdeed. You have to get that out of your system first. You just suddenly can't forgive.
And that's a big part of why I'll go for a long bike ride, because it allows me to just shuck off anything that I'm feeling.
You need to process it. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but there's someone I like. His name is Dr. Mario Martinez, and he studied Tibetan monks. You know, these monks have had major trauma. They have had their families, their friends killed in front of them. And they went straight to loving kindness, forgiveness. These monks have the highest case of diabetes around the world. These are fit men that are vegetarian. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, why do they have the highest case
right.
of diabetes?
Right, they're not drinking like fishes and eating Big Macs.
So he explains it in such a beautiful scientific manner about how the body works. And it's because we are holding on to that resentment. We are holding on to something that hasn't been processed. It went straight to forgiveness. So that needs to occur.
Right.
Also, you brought up the issue of taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I'm one who will blame myself for everything.
Maybe the responsibility is 5% of the engagement. So, yeah.
What does that mean?
Meaning, if you want to play the blame game, I'm responsible for 5% of what just happened. But I am not responsible for 95%, and I am not responsible for them saying those words to me, if that's what the case is.
And it's okay for you to express yourself and look ugly to say, "This is not okay." I think so many of us listening, and I think most of the world does not live this way. Most of the world is more narcissistic, I think. But I feel like our friends listening and us, we're more like the opposite. We take responsibility for everything. We take the burden of everything. We're super empathetic, you
right.
know, super forgiving. Don't want to cause any waves. Just want things to be peaceful.
And by and large, I think most people don't want to cause waves. That's the other thing.
I think a lot of people just want things the way they want them. And I think the issue is that you could look at a situation from afar if you really don't know what's going on and say, "Well, they just need to get over and make up, okay, and just make peace." However, if someone is threatening you, you need to take that seriously.
Yes.
All right? You can't just forgive that. You need to take action. You need to take care of things, right?
Right.
And I think a lot of us, because we don't want to look ugly or we want to be friends, that we don't establish those boundaries. And Aikido, like, have a circle about you that, hey, you are not allowed here like this.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And you need to make that clear. And perhaps we need to turn up the volume a little bit in the beginning as things happen so people don't get so shocked and surprised and appalled. Because we said, "Hey, you can't do that." Like I said, then they get all offended. They're the ones getting offended. And you're the one who has been getting all the bad treatment this whole time.
Right.
Which then makes you feel even more crazy and terrible. And end up feeling like you don't want to be friends with anyone ever again or work with anyone ever again. Because it's such a terrible, gross situation.
Right.
So anyway.
So anyways.
The pitfalls of, you know, being friends with opposites or dealing with opposites or the whole thing of going to something that's outside of your bubble. And the thing is that certain things try to pierce your bubble.
Yes.
So either way, we're in life and it's going to happen. Either it gets pierced sometimes, or you try to expand your bubble and you end up touching things that are a little uncomfortable. So we're here to let you know you're not alone in that.
And, you know, honestly, communicate. So communicate. If you're hanging out with a friend and you're going off and doing something you wouldn't normally do, and let them know, this isn't a place I'd normally go.
Or just...
Or a thing I would normally do. So let's check it out.
It is like a workout. Like, I had a friend who reached out to me and said, oh, can I have your kid's phone number so I can talk to them? An adult wanting to talk to our littlest one about, you know, whatever. And I said, no, that's not okay. You can talk through me.
There you go.
But I could tell she was taken way aback. Meanwhile, she's one of the people that when the kids get invited, I'm never invited to their house. Like, I'm sitting there outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a boundary with me. Even at the library, like, she's allowed to go into a certain section where the kids are, but no other person is. I'm always left out. So the one time I'm like, no, you cannot have my kid's phone number. If you want to talk to my kid, you can do so through me.
Right.
About this situation. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Don't be afraid to be don't be afraid to look like a bad person.
Right. Or ugly.
Just be you.
But, you know, I could tell, like, now it's all weird. I'm like, you're feeling weird? Meanwhile, it's been months for me.
Right.
I dropped off one of our kids at a slumber party that was far away. It was quite a drive. Get there, have never met this person. Know this person, this family, through a friend. And when I got there, I went with a tray of cupcakes and everything. Homemade, vegan, organic, like beautiful, delicious. And the tray gets taken from me, barely a thank you. And I had to stand there and go, can we come in? And she looked at me and she said, no. So, of course, you know, our kid went in, but she said no to me. I don't understand that. And then that kind of personality gets mad at me when I say, oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to give my child's phone number to you. You can talk to me about
it. There's strangeness all around. And there's people have
it.
Boundaries all over the place. And it's about asserting your own boundaries without impugning on others.
I just don't understand why they don't. When they have their own, like, huge walls and boundaries, that if I very gently say, oh, you know, no, I would prefer if you... Actually, I was very, like, soft about it. I said, I would prefer if you went through me.
Right. And I know you were, but that's just it. People don't see problems in their own behavior. They see problems in others. Because what I'm doing is what I'm doing. And there's a certain belief that everybody holds on to, myself included, that what we do is morally right. And absolutely right. Because I'm doing it. And unfortunately, our brain's not wired that way. We actually defend every action as far as its moralistic sense after we do it. So we're always kind of in the self-justification mode. But that's beside the point. But the thing is we have a hard time seeing flaws in ourselves. And typically it takes some very drastic stuff to cause us to see it.
Hmm. So the lesson for me that I've been working on, that I'd like to pass on, is it's okay to assert yourself. It's not only okay, it's necessary.
Very much.
And it doesn't mean a blow up. It just means very kindly saying, let me think about this. I'm not going to do that.
And I'm going to work on figuring out how I can not be so gosh darn subtle or so gosh darn blunt. And with nothing, it feels like in between.
I think in your situation, you have to reiterate how you have been telling them. And I know this because of our personal relationship, because I've gone through this with you too. Because you're so subtle, subtle, subtle. And then you're like, hey, I'm like, whoa.
Hold on, Buckaroo.
And then you'll point out all the different ways that you have said it to me. I'm like, oh man, you're right.
But I'm too, it feels like I'm too subtle, and then the sledgehammer comes out.
Yeah,
I gotta figure out how to pull out just the claw.
So you
hammer.
Have to very gently go back and show them the receipts of what you said. And when you said it.
And I just have to not blow. my top. I have to figure out how to not blow my top. And I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but it's, you know, life is a practice, basically. I'm still working on being me.
It's not easy.
It ain't easy being cheesy. Nope.
All right. That's us for now. Have a beautiful every day. Stay well. I took your line.
You took my line, gosh darn it.
No, you say it.
Be well.